September 11th, 2013 is the 40th anniversary of the 1973 coup d'etat in Chile. The coup by General Augusto Pinochet and its aftermath saw countless human rights violations and political murders. Musician, songwriter, and political activist Victor Jara was one of many Chileans detained, tortured, and killed by the regime. The film, Victor Jara, The Right to Live in Peace, is screening in Winnipeg on Sunday as part of the MayWorks Festival of Labor and the Arts and is the inaugural event of the Chile 40 Winnipeg Coalition. Hugo Torres Cerecida is a member of MayWorks and of the Chile 40 Winnipeg Coalition, and he joins me in the studio. Welcome, Hugo.
Thank you.
I wanted to start by talking about the music of Victor Jara, including the song that we just heard, and you're a musician yourself. Mm-hmm. And Victor was active in the new song movement in Chile. Can you talk about how that was important politically in the 1960s and 70s?
Yeah, it was called the movement was called the New Chilean Song Movement. And it's a movement that started in the early 60s in Chile. But it's a movement that went along with the political movement of the people. In the early 60s and through the whole 60s, people was beginning to be aware of the economical and political situation in Chile, and people start getting very involved politically. And that's how, at the end of that process, that movement, we managed to elect Salvador Allende in 1970. The New Chilean Song was part of that movement because the music and the lyrics of the songs were talking about the life of the working class people, poor people, poor peasants, about their hopes, about their dreams. So it became very much along with the political movement to elect a progressive government in Chile, which was Salvador Allende's government.
So for political songwriters like Victor Jara, is that why they did become then a target of the Pinochet regime? Because they did create popular discontent?
Yes, the music became very popular. They were busy musicians. They were performing in every political rally, every demonstration. They were again part of that political movement, and because they became very public. And in the case of Victor Jara, he was a famous artist not only in Chile but all over Latin America. He was one of the first targets of Pinochet. To the point where some instruments that they were played by the New Chilean Song also were outlawed, because even the instrument they sort of like reflect that political movement. So for example, the pan flutes, the charango, small little guitar instrument, double five strings, you were not allowed to play them after the coup d'etat because they were identified with that new Chilean Song movement.
And were these instruments that would have been traditionally played by working class or peasant people?
Exactly, yeah. Well, the pan flutes are from the Indians, the native people in the north of Chile, in the highlands, the Aymara people, who were cousins of the Quechua people in Peru, part of the same kind of group. So most of those instruments were from that area, yeah.
I wanted to ask about the film, and I know the film was made in 1999, so right. Almost 20 or more than 25 years after Jara's mm-hmm. death. How does the film that was made, you know, after he was gone for so long, how does it still manage to capture and to celebrate his life and what he did?
Well, Carmen Luz Parot, who is the director and producer, worked very close with Joan Jara. Joan Jara was a contemporary dancer that married Victor Jara. She was originally from England, actually. And Victor Jara, at that point, was involved in theater, too, and performing. And that's how they met. So Carmen Luz Parot and Joan Jara, Joan Jara knew Victor Jara very well, of course. And they put together this film that there is amazing pictures and also films of few of Victor Jara's live performance when he was in Cuba at one point, That's the only live performance that you're going to see in the film, because it was done by the Cuban TV, and that was kept as archives. And Joan Jara and Carmen Luz Parot managed to get hold of that. There is a book also that Joan Jara wrote, so there is lots of research in that book about Victor Jara's life. I mean, how he was a child, a member of a very poor peasant family, and the father was alcoholic, and the mother was the one that was bringing the bread to the house, and she raised all the kids. So there is lots of information, and they managed to put it together in this amazing, amazing film.
I wanted to talk as well about the coalition that is being created here in Winnipeg to commemorate the coup d'etat in Chile, and it has the maxim, never again, with it. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the years immediately before the coup and how the change happened and how, you know, whether this sort of thing could be possible again?
It happened like that. September 11 was a Tuesday. All the armed forces, the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, and the police, they came together with the help of Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon in United States and the CIA, and they planned this coup d'etat, and it was very quick. The resistance from the people lasted maybe 4 or 5 days. We were not prepared for that kind of thing. They moved very quickly with there were tanks, helicopters everywhere. They went into every working place, into universities, and if you were involved, like in my case, I was involved with a student union at university, your name was right there in the newspaper, and you had to present yourself to the new authorities of the university or whatever place of work that you have. And very quickly, they set up concentration camps everywhere, like soccer stadiums became concentration camps, and they took over just like it was. Very quick, very, very quick. And they established curfew, so you couldn't be out of the street at the beginning. I think it was 6 in the evening. After 6 in the evening, you couldn't. Slowly, it was later on, it was 7, 8, 9, and at one point it was midnight. But yeah, they took over very quickly.
When British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher died earlier this month, there was a lot of tributes to her, and I know that she was a friend of Pinochet and a supporter of him and his policies. And a lot of the people, including Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, talked about her as someone who was a symbol of freedom and democracy around the world, and criticized people on the left for wanting to discuss some of her policies and her relationships. Do you think there's a reluctance for countries like England or the United States and Canada to admit their role in supporting the Pinochet regime?
Well, I mean, definitely they support it. There is no question about it. All the dictatorship that we have in Latin America were sponsored by United States. And at one point there were dictatorships everywhere, in Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Peru, Bolivia, Chile, everywhere. There is no question that the reason that they support supported this military dictatorship is to protect their interest, right? In the case of Chile, the American companies have been traditionally exploiting our copper mines, and Allende's government, the first thing that he did was to nationalize our copper mines. So obviously, when it comes to economic and the Western world, they don't hesitate to stop democracy and to sponsor dictatorship because they're protecting their quote-unquote economical interest. And now you have documents everywhere that come in, even from the American Senate, that shows the involvement of the American government in all these places. In the case of Margaret Thatcher, the friendship with Pinochet is very interesting because, if you remember the Falkland War, the island that is close to Argentina that belong, quote-unquote, to England. On that war, when Argentina was trying to recuperate that island, Pinochet was helping Margaret Thatcher. right? So that's how they became good friends, kind of thing.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today.
No, thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Hugo Torres Cereceda of the Chile 40 Winnipeg Coalition, and the film Victor Jara, The Right to Live in Peace, again, it screens this Sunday, that's May 5th at 7 p.m. at Cinematheque 100 Arthur Street. And the film is showing as part of MayWorks, the Festival of Labor and the Arts, and there is more information at mayworks.org and also on upcoming events as part of the Chile 40 Winnipeg commemoration at chile40winnipeg.ca.